in Parashas Tzaveh deals with a big chelik of it deals with Bidei Kahuna, and each and every one of the Bidei Kahuna has in itself special qualities. There's one that has in itself, first of all, some sort of mysterious inyan over here, and also its seder vis-a-vis the other begadim is very not clear. And that's the tzitz. It says, "Vasisa tzitz zohav tahor, mupitachta lo pitucha choisin kodesh Hashem." The tzitz had in itself a the only one that had it had written on it kodesh Hashem. It had a kodesh baruch Hu's name mefurish on it. The Targum says it's ksav mefurish the shem Hashem, and it says the marshals machlokes. Normally the kohen was not allowed to lift his hands above it because it's kaddish. For brichas kohanim there's a machlokes in the gemara, but al kaponim the mitzat kedusha it has itself lechura the highest kedusha of the things the kohen wore. Yet the mitznefes was higher on his head. We would expect, in other words, if we were designing the big ikuna, we'd put a big crown that says Kodesh Hashem on it, and that would be the tzitz, and then you would have the whatever underneath it. The mitznefes is higher on the body, and the Kodesh Hashem lies on the forehead, which is it's also hard to know exactly what exactly is the forehead, the ave of it. You have the heart, and that's the choshen and the aveid. You have the klolis agufis, the meil. You have the mitznefes, which are on the roish. But lemaisa to have the tzitz on the metzach is a hard one to know exactly what the nekud of the metzach is. You have in the skulas on the inyan of the mitznefes of the tzitz. It says voyal metzach aron v'nos aron es avoyin hakadoshim asher hakdishu bnei Yisrael, that it's mechaper on all the inyanim of karbonis and so on that was nikrav bituma. So lemaisa you have two inyanim. That two base major inyanim that it covers. It covers tumas hanikravim. In other words, the objects that were nikravim mizbeach, that were there betuma, it's mechaper on. So dam and chaylev and etc. It's not mechaper on something that you have to eat afterwards, and that's easier to understand. But if the kohen himself was tamei, it's mechaper only if it's what's called tumas atahoim. The very strange halacha. A tumah that was noida, that people were aware of, or that someone knew that, a tumah that was in a place that it was known, that's not mechaper. Tumah in a place that's not known, that's complete, that was hidden, different tanoim, but it's called tumas atahoim, like just like the tahoim is a place no one explored, that's what tumas atahoim is. That tumah is mechapon. So it's a very strange, I mean, it's exes hakasov, and he's a nyonim of kachim, but mecholifin, one would like to have some sort of hagdora on this, on the it's mechape on tumas hanikrovim, it's mechape on tumas hamakriv, only if it's tumas atahoim. What's the inyan? Why? The Chazal also say, Mar Erchon says, in other places, the different big day kahuna were mechape on different midas, more than on specific averis, they were mechape midas by fin kalali. So you have the midas of the muscle, the me'il is mashmiya koil, it's mechape keneged averis shebe koil. It's mechape keneged also to diburim and so on. Good. The mitznefes is mechape on gaiva, and that's something. Also, we understand the mitznefes stands tall on his head. It's the gaiva is usually a person has a lot of, you know, he feels he's smart and so on. And gaiva is a high point that we understand. The tzitz is mechape on azus metzach. if we're talking about basic midas, it's hard to get the exact distinction between gaiva and azus. They tend to come. A person who is a bal gaiva is usually az panim, and vice versa. A person who feels very, very comfortable with himself, very confident with himself, and very with a swollen sense of self. It also, as a chutzpah, it says, you know, that it says Oshes speaks Azus, and it's normal for somebody who feels good about himself to be an Aspanim. Where is the Havchan exactly? What's the distinction between Gaiva and Azus Panim? Where, even if they come together, but what's the Mahus of each Midah vis-a-vis each other? Those are inyanim that need some esplainus in the tzitz. Going back, parsha to the pasuk says in the end of Yisrael, it says that before that, the Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, was he was afraid to look at the snare at the Elokim, ki yoreh mihabit. And and Chazal say two things about it. They say a plus, and they say a minus. They say later when he asked, "Hareinos kvaidecha," so HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, "It's limited. I can't, you know." And Chazal say an expression that when I wanted to show you, you didn't want to see. Now you won't see it. So it seems as if there was some sort of taina Moshe Rabbeinu. On the other hand, Chazal say that bischar vayar mehabit, he was zeichet to vayiru migeshes elof, that the schar that he didn't want to look, the Klal Yisrael was scared to approach him. So it seems as if there was a tzad maila in it. Where's the chisor and where's the maila over here? So let's be mivayed inyan of Asus Panim and Busha and Bemela. We're going to get an understanding of the tzitz and the unique part that tzitz needed to do. In the Parsha Matan Torah, there was Koilus and Lapidim and Brokim, and then there was giving the Torah itself. So it says, "V'cholam roim es akolz apidim es akol ashoifes ha'ashen." They saw all of the fireworks surrounding Torah. "Vayar ha'am," Klai Yisrael was scared. "Vayinu v'yamdim merochok," they pushed away. "Vayoyim," they told Moshe, "Daba toimonim nishma," was scared stiff. "Vayidabim anakim pen namus." "Vayoyim Moshe l'am al tiro," don't be scared. "Ki lebavur nasas eschem bor loikim, ubavur tia yir osay al pneichem levilti techto." And don't be scared. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to uplift you, be meromim you. That's the word nasos means to lift up, like a nes, Rash says. Ubavur tia yir osa pneichem utechtechto. And you should have the fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on you that you shouldn't sin. So Moshe Rabbeinu is not answering anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, Klal Yisrael tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wow, it's scary. It frightens us to death, this whole thing. And he says, don't worry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you shouldn't be scared, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is trying to frighten you to know what the consequences are doing in Avera. So they are supposed to be frightened. I mean, where is the answer? Where is he addressing their shaila? Chazal add something. What is your osay al pneichem? Bavurti yos al pneichem. So Gemara Nedarim says yos al pneichem zu abusha. There's a specific type of yira that's categorized as yira al aponim, and that's called busha. And that was what all of this firework was there in order to impress them with. So let's try to understand the nekuda of that Chazal are bringing out over here. What is the yir al pneichem and the busha and so on? The opposite of busha is azus. Boishponim and azponim are two opposites. But we try to understand why dafke is it associated with ponim. I mean, the yira is yira in everything. Where's the association dafke with ponim, boishponim, azponim, and so on? the general sense of Yira is when a person's metzias is overshadowed by someone else, by something else, the person is filled with Yira. L'moshel, if a person sees somebody very, very tall and strong coming after him, the person is scared of him because he knows that his existence is threatened by the other person. A person stands on a mountaintop and he's overwhelmed by everything around him. He feels very, very tiny and he gets scared. The pachad is a reaction of Yira is when your existence is threatened. And any time there's a physical threat to your existence, you begin to get scared. That's a normal mahalo. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to sense sense danger and proportions. We don't have a problem starting up with somebody that doesn't intimidate us. Someone whose presence intimidates us, we step back. In the world of Gashmias, that's called Yira. There's another dimension. What happens in the world of Neshama where a person has a moral sense? Every person has a sense of Tov and Ra. And a person does something and someone else tells him and someone else calls him to order. So let's give an example. Let's say a person is standing and someone comes over to him and says, Yankel, how come you didn't daven today? A Nivra standing in front of Ba'olam and you didn't daven. So I'll be embarrassed. Yankel will be embarrassed. Because the person is spoke from a higher moral point. The moral stature of the person calling me to task for not davening, I perceive as being taller than myself. My own self withers in the presence of this person, of these words. I didn't daven and he called me to task, and therefore I will be embarrassed. So my reaction on a nafshistic level to a threat, so to speak, a threat coming from a moral, ethical, someone says, how come you didn't handle honestly? So those are things that will bring out in me busha. Let's say someone comes over to me, a guy, a missionary, and he says, you know, aren't you, you know, how could you be so stubborn and not believe in Yeshu? Aren't you ashamed? The answer is absolutely not. I'm proud. The reason is because my perception of his moral stature is low, and I look down at him. So there's not going to be a busha. The realm of Yira, on a nafshistic level, is reflected in busha. When somebody threatens me physically, I run, or fight, or bristle, or freeze up. There are different reactions on a physical level. And when somebody threatens me morally, I'm embarrassed, humiliated, if I perceive it as a threat. Of all the environment of the body, the environment of the body can only crudely reflect feelings and so on. You can see a person walks dejectedly. You can see a person walks very animated. You see a person walks and he's happy and joyful. He's bouncing. But those are relatively minor reflections. The place where you can see on a person the ruchnistic reactions is on his face. That is where you can perceive a person's feelings. So, yira al aponim, when a person gets embarrassed, the most striking part of the body that reflects it is the face. When a person is scared and he's running, there's a look on the face, but you can see it in his hands and feet running. You can see in hair standing at an end, like it says, the samas, saris, and so on. The body itself is it's a body type of reaction, and the body reflects it. Busha is something where only the face itself, where the face reflects it the most vividly. The person turns red, the person has a look of befuddlement, of humiliation, whatever it is. Chazal always mitire it that the panim, that's the bush is the panim. So b'meila, what yira on a physical level is to the klolius guf, to the klolius of the person. Busha is on a moral level, on a neshama level, specifically to the face and specifically on moral issues. The way it reflects itself, Chazal say, Lemashal, when I call a person to task and he thinks I'm right, he can't look at me. He looks down at the ground. Asha says, "Ki adam shemashpil es mabotav." Asha somewhere to the adama. You can't look at the person. You look down, and the reason is the eyes are ki'ilu my sense of things, my tfis of things. This is the way I perceive it. When I rely on my seichel and my das, it means this is the way I see it. This is my tfisa and my judgment. If my judgment has been found inferior to yours or to Emmet's, whatever it is, I look down. I can't look up. When I feel I'm right, I look you straight in the eyes and I don't flinch because my re'iya is bigger, greater, or whatever it is. That is the midah of busha, the way it expresses itself. So first, let's just explain the pasuk by Moshe. Moshe told him, "Don't jump backwards. The kailas and the brokim and the lapidim are not there to scare your body. Don't worry. The fire and the sounds are not there to frighten your body. They're there to impress you. Who is the Nosan HaTorah that you should have yira al pneichem?" You should be able to have the you should have the sense of who is the mitzaveh and who are you. That's what it's there for. So he told them, not yira I want, but I want yira al pneichem. I want busha specifically. It translates itself obviously to yiras haroimus and yiras ha'inish, is obviously the same thing. That's the midah of busha. The midah of, so in Azus, in the world of Azus and busha, we have two types of, there's a specific case where somebody comes along to me and you know, calls me to task. So I have a busha, or I say no, I think I'm right, and I couldn't care less what you say. As far as midas go, in the world of midas, it goes one step weiter. An azpanim, somebody who's an azpanim be'etzim, is somebody that doesn't feel there's anyone or anything that can pull rank on him. He says I'm wrong, he says I'm wrong, he says I'm wrong. So what? I don't think so. That is an azpanim be'etzim. In other words, I start with the hanacha that there is nothing and nobody in the world that can tell me what's right and wrong. If I think it's right, then it's right. That's it. A boish panim is someone that recognizes there's a world of greatness beyond me. There's something higher than me, and you know, and I must bow that which is greater, and so on. Whether it's someone who understands better than me what's right and wrong, whether it's the Torah, whether it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole array of inyan that are greater than me. So the sheirish of Azus and versus Busha lies, when we're talking about not a particular instance, when we're talking about a midah in a person, lies in the sense of, does a person carry the axiom right and wrong starts with me, and that's it? That's called Azus Metzach. Because just like the panim is extremely, it's very interesting how the face is constructed and how it reflects it. The punim is the supple part of the person's face. It's the part that changes colors. It's the part that expresses anguish and anxiety and happiness. The expressive part of the person is the punim. The metzach is the solid part that doesn't express very much even on the punim. And the eyes lie in between. So if a person's eyes are downwards, that's the mahalach of busha. In other words, my sense of things, my understanding of things is not great. It's been overridden. I've gone down a step, so to speak, and it's the eyes are with the punim. If my eyes stand straight, in a straight line, they say, I don't care less what you think. There's nobody that can tell me what's right and wrong. And the eyes are aligned with the metzach, and they produce a certain... They become part of that same rebelliousness in the sense of not accepting that there's more than me. The world stops at my eyes. Ki yeshara hi be'enai, it says by Shimshon. I think she's good. That's it. So we have here a junction between the panim and the metzach, with the eyes going either way. Eyes can either show rebellion, and I couldn't care less what you think, or eyes can lower themselves and show hachna and understanding that there's something higher and bigger than me. And that's why Matan Torah required yiras upon him as the primary mida before anything else. If Torah is, hey there, would you like to read a very interesting work, some very great points there, that's not Torah. If it is, something came down from El Yoinim, and you're now looking at something beyond you, you're getting a glimpse into a world that is beyond you, that's what Torah is. So the Shayra Yisaitis, the Shayra Shashrashim of accepting Torah is not, I'd like to make it part of my bookshelf. It's a very important central work. El Yoinim came down, and I have to lower my eyes and accept what came down from El Yoinim. That's the core of what Kabbalah Zotera is. The Moshe Rabbeinu's Mida of Vayar Mehabit was Moshe Rabbeinu deherd that in his first meeting with that which was beyond him, in his first glimpse of Nevuah, he deherded as that which lowers his eyes down. So there was a Nekudah Bikiris, and that's a different Shmuz why, but the schar of that was that he himself reflected it, and we'll speak about it a little bit later. That's the pshat in Tzitz and Mitznefes. Mitznefes is the highest part of the person himself. In other words, the crown of the person's own accomplishments. That's what the Mitznefes represents. It's on top of the head, because the head is the highest point on the person's body. Nothing goes further than that. And the Mitznefes crowns it. If a person's sense of self is inflated, if a person's sense of self is gasos ruach, that's gaiva. And the Mitznefes comes to mechapan it. When the Kohen wore the Mitznefes b'kedusha, there was an avoida, there was mechapan on a person's sense of self. The etzem fact that person has a sense of self, an inflated sense of self, all of that. That is one midah. There's a second midah. No matter what I think of myself, am I open to the idea that there's something bigger? Is there something that I stand back from and lower my eyes and say, I am overruled. I am... and so on. That midah is the midah of either Azos Panim or Boish Panim. It reaches higher. Whatever, even though it's lower down than the person's own accomplishments, but it reaches higher than anything a person can attain to. If a person says, let's say a person is a big Talmud Chacham and he can pass a lot of Shailas. So, up to a certain point, in other words, every person has his Gvul. So let's say somebody is very Chashiv and his Gvul is this and this point. But if somebody who's less Chashiv, but has in himself Dachna, that there is that which I don't know and I need to ask, and whatever goes beyond the boundaries of his self, he will ask, then his ability to paskin is much greater, in a sense, than the other person. The other person, his expertise stops with his expertise, and that's limited. The second person, since he's muchan to ask someone, to be machnia, to be misbatel, then he's open to a lot more, because it's endless in a certain sense. The tzitz is the kli that takes a person and says kodesh la Hashem. It's the hisbatlus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and saying all of me is simply kodesh la Hashem. That midah is mitzad its kedusha, mitzad its content, supersedes the mitznefes, because no matter how tall the mitznefes is, it has a gvul. The kodesh Lashem, if the person is mekabel the maris of HaKadosh Baruch of Teira, then his greatness is boundless. So the kli of the tzitz brought out in the kedusha of the metzach, which lies in the kodesh Lashem. And that's why you couldn't lift up anything above it. The mitznefes, the pshat is, that's a seichel. To lift up your hands above the mitznefes meant that there are certain activities that you do that seem to go above your hispatus takarish baruch. That can't be. The word sitz comes from, like the word meitzitz min acharakim. Who's the one standing behind that wall, looking in from the window and peering in from the cracks? Tzitz means to peek. Hatzotze. Heitzitz olav balabira. Even the word tzitzis that many say come from that. It means a glimpse. In other words, something which my eyes cannot take in, but there's an awareness of it. Just like if there's a very bright light, I can catch a quick glimpse of it. Something is very quick, too quick for my eyes to chop, but I can catch a glimpse of it speeding by. The koyach of tzitz is the koyach of peeking at something. The koyach of the roish is a tfisa and a havana and a re'iyah. The koyach of the tzitz is the koyach to be meitzitz on Kodesh Hashem. Wherever Kodesh Baruch Hu is mizgala, the vayar mehabit is, that's the only way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is megala himself to a person, is if the person does not see. It's almost a paradox. The gilui is shayach to the person that can't bear the gilui. All we really chap is a glimpse of something great, of something beyond us. That's the etzem tfis of a person in that world. So the tzitz is kodesh Lashem. It carries in itself these batlos of Adam to beyond him. It's on the metzach, the same metzach that when it's not b'kedusha, it stops a person and from anything greater than him, and the kodesh Lashem is cut off at that point. The kodesh Lashem on it says, my whole self is subordinate to something greater than myself, and that is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on. We asked what's the pshat that it's meratzah. It's very strange inyan. It's meratzah only on tuma. That's not noida, and so on. I think it's the same thing. Wherever, in other words, tzitz is something that goes where the person is not. It's the tfisa where there is, where yediyah stops. Where yediyah and havana of a person stops. So objects that are nekravim, you find in Tumah there's also a chiluk between objects that have no yediyah versus people. In the strange dharma of Tumah there is such differences. Yesh bodas lishol, ein bodas lishol. But here specifically, nekravim are objects. Objects have no das, they don't have any their own understanding, and tzitz is meratzah it. In Adam, tzitz is meratzah on the world of things that the person has, where his idea finished. That's the hagdar of tumas atahom. It's the area where the person's mitzias of where tfisa came to an end. It's tumah that I don't have no tfisa in. If it's tumah that I have a tfisa or a possible tfisa in, the kodesh Lashem has nothing to do with that. The chelik of where the person's own hand finishes, the own ability to grasp and understand finishes it, beyond it, as a zelu maseh, because I'm a vatal what's beyond me to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of that as well. There's a very famous Chassidish Avart about a person's cheshbon nefesh, and it goes by chametz. It says that if it's a very deep chor, if it's between him and a goy and so on, it says boydek ad mokum sheyorim magas vasham mevatel belibo. You can stick in your hand as far as it goes, and the rest you mevatel belibo. So Chassidim have a melitza that a person can only reach in as far as he goes. So he, as far as a person can do something about his midas and so on, he has to do it. What's beyond human reach, he has to keilu be mispaul bevatel belibo. He's mevatel himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if he's mevatel the sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it will take care of even the layers that are beneath the conscience. It's a shogor befi different sedushes farim, but that's the idea of it. So we have here an entire compass of the avoda of kohen gadol, of the tzitz and so on. Benagia to us, benagia how we understand it. If a person, the mida of azus is a mida that cuts him off from any possibility of any of becoming bigger than himself. No matter how big the person is, but the person himself is limited, and therefore the person himself can only grow to be as big as he is. That's all. He can use up what he has, and that's it. Even if he does what's right, even if he doesn't make any mistakes, that means that the Torah that he gets, even if it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is only as big as himself. Because I'm only taking the parts that I can understand. Whatever there is in Torah that's beyond me, I don't accept. I'm not a kli kibble for that which is beyond me. So the person takes Torah, and in a certain sense, it stops being Torah's Hashem. Because it's got only me. That's all it can have. If a person's basic nekuda is his batlus, the person says, I am now looking into a world that is by far greater than me. Some of it I can understand, some of it I can somewhat understand, and some of it all I have is a peek into something bigger than me. All I can do is be matzitz. Then the person has shaychus to it. The person has shaychus to it because he's open to be mevatel himself to something beyond him. The Yiras Shamayim that we ask of a person when he approaches Torah and Avodah is this Yiras Shamayim, that the person approaches the understanding that I am now accepting on me a world that is much bigger than me, and some of it, whatever I can incorporate and understand, I have to, and whatever else I have to know that I see it, I understand it. The biggest person who has that mida, there's a mida connected mida with it. Moshe Rabbeinu, what does it mean that beschar that Moshe Rabbeinu was vayir mehabit? That's why vayir megesha seilov. I mean, I was Moshe so terribly pleased that people were afraid to come to him? I mean, where's the schar? What's the nekuda of the schar mida connected mida? The teretz is like this. We're scared of a person. Sometimes we're scared of a person because he's physically threatening, like we said before. Sometimes when we're in awe of a person, an Akum will ask us, you know, this short little old rabbi, like, why are you in such awe of him? Like, he doesn't, you know, he's not imposing, he's not big, he's not threatening. Why do you stand in such awe? And the answer is, when we feel that a person exudes a certain ruchnius that transcends his own metzias, that's bigger than himself. There's something, what creates a yira from anashim gdoilim, from giants, is the sense of greatness that the person carries with him. And in a certain way, it's more scary. Whatever, if you see a person physically imposing, so it has a gvul. He's so-and-so tall, so-and-so heavy, and so much muscle. But when you get a sense, when you see a person, and he carries with him a lot more than... there's almost a mysterious well of ruchnis within the person. It creates a tremendous... It creates a yiras hakavod. Moshe Rabbeinu, for the person whose onus yachsus takarish baruch hu and Torah is yira, that means the person becomes a kli for that. And the person is a kli for ruchnias that by far transcends his own metzias. It's an extraordinary paradox, but it's emes. For the person that approaches ruchnias and Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Azas Metzach, so Torah is cut to his size, and the person himself is his size, and that's all there is to it. He got from Torah only what he can understand, and that's it. And people see in him, he's a smart man, he knows a lot. He can repeat it backwards and forwards and knows it, this and that. But there's no sense of greatness that transcends whatever's there. What you see is what you get, and that's it. There's nothing more to the person. The person himself, whose own mitzias is yachsus takarish baruch hu, is I am carrying something bigger than myself. Then the person becomes a kli for that, just like he himself is accepting, and that which is bigger than himself. So when a person looks at him, he sees a person that's carrying something more than himself. And that creates the yira. Moshe Rabbeinu became a kli. The schar was an awesome schar. Moshe Rabbeinu is the melamed Torah for Klal Yisrael, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that gives over the yirasay al pneichem to Klal Yisrael. What the kohelis and the brachon Rabbeinu was supposed to do, Moshe Rabbeinu's own metzias did it. Because since Moshe Rabbeinu was yore mehabit, his first. Meeting with Ruchnius was a lowering of his eyes because I am in the presence of something great. That means he understood what Ruchnius is. And b'meila, when a person saw him and when he saw Moshe Rabbeinu, he saw Moshe Rabbeinu carrying something, a crown that's much bigger than Moshe Rabbeinu. That was the Mida Keneged Mida. It's very interesting, in the Bar Yochai, in the Nigne Sing for Bar Yochai, it says, one of the Shvachas of Reb Shem Yochai, why he was zeichet to so much, was, ki yoresa mehabit ki ravu. You were scared to look at the oyer because it was so big, that's why you carried so much oyer into the world. In other words, when a person has that sense of yira, the person can carry that sense of yira. So in a sense that the Kohen Gadol's begadim carried in itself the two attributes that complementary attributes that a person who carries ruchni is supposed to carry. There was a mitznefes, which is a crown on the head. What the person knows and learns and understands well and thoroughly is his crown. And that's a kesa roish of the mitznefes. And that's the highest point on the person's body. And that is definitely the that's mitzad, the person, his greatness lies in his avon and his tfisa. But on the koichas ha-nefesh of the metzach, in the person's struggle between asserting his self and putting his self down as the central point, versus a person lowering his eyes and saying, "Yoreisi mehabit, I'm scared to look because in the presence of greatness I wither." That starts at a lower point in the person. It starts where I admit I don't understand. It starts where my eyes lower themselves, and it gives the person the crown of that which is beyond him. The mitznefes is the highest point in a person, but the tzitz is the kodesh l'Hashem. It's the part where a person says, I am in the presence of greatness, and whatever it is that I do know is only a tip of the iceberg to what I don't know. And when a person has that attitude, so whatever the person does, whatever he can be misaching himself is misaching himself. Everything else that sits is meratzah and all other averus. If a person's attitude is, I know that to be misaching things is, and it completely is beyond my control, but I will do the best I can in what I can do, and ask for smart to try what I can't do, that's where the tzitz is meratzah. So in Torah, a person needs two kochos. He needs a koyach of trying to understand as much as he can, to understand it as thoroughly as he can, as solidly, with as much as van and tfisa. That's one part of it. The second part of it is the underlying theme has to be yosel paneim, that the person walks around knowing that he's in the presence of greatness. And if a person has that humility, the schar of the yoreh mehabit, the schar of that hisbatlus and humility and inability, understanding that he can't look at it straight because it's so much greater than him, he's able to convey to other people. He's able to bring that into the world. And not only to convey to people what he knows and understands, but that there's so much more that's beyond us. Yes. Sorry.